Children are beautiful little people. They have their own thoughts, their own feelings, and when they're old enough, they tell you just what they want and don't. It can be quite the frustration in order to understand them in general, but for a parent, it can also be a success. A success that they said a word, that they walked, that they ate on their own. It's beauty and it's torture. Waking up, having the responsibility day in and day out. And yet, you do it because you love your child. But not all parents love their children. Having a child, biologically, does not automatically give you love for a child. And what if you're a child in your own right? Maybe you're not 14 years old having a child. Maybe you're 19, but you didn't really want your child. And if you have that baby, would you really treat that baby the way a mom should? The answer, of course, but not everyone. Not everyone who might lie, might steal, might murder. And why? Because they have a life to live. Because they have things to do. And that child is just in their way. Hello, this is Caitlin from GBR Life of Crimes. In this podcast, we discuss women crimes and the psychology behind them. Why did these women commit these crimes? Was it mental illness? Did they do it just for fun? Keep listening, because this week is about Casey Anthony and her web of lies.
Did you cause any injury to your child, Kaylee?
No, sir.
Did you hurt Kaylee or leave her somewhere and you're worried that if we find that out that people are going to look at you the wrong way?
No, sir.
And you're telling me that Zenaida took your child without your permission
and
hasn't returned her?
The last person that I've seen with my daughter, yes.
Casey Anthony was born March 19, 1986, in Warren, Ohio. She was one of two children of Cindy and George Anthony. Casey's life was pretty normal. Nothing spectacular went on in her childhood, and it was a pretty normal childhood. She had friends just like other children. She went to school, and she graduated. But her pattern of lying, the one thing that everyone remembers about her is her need to lie all the time, began to be really noticed in high school. Now, it's easy to think children are going to have issues when they hit their teenage years. Some a little before. That's why they call them preteens. But for Casey, it really started in high school. For the most part, as I said, normal childhood. But when she hit her senior year, she started to skip school. And she became a few credits short from graduating from school. But she lied to her parents. Not that she was skipping school per se. The school would have notified the parents. But that she would have graduated. So what did her parents do? They believed their daughter. Because she had no real history of being a big liar, they assumed that she was doing everything that she needed to do to graduate. But no. On the day of graduation, they found out that she was still a few credits short because she had stopped attending school. And that was only the first of the shocking events when it came to Casey. Although the next shocking event wasn't a bad thing. Not if you wanted to be a grandparent. When Casey was 19 years old, she came down with a bombshell to her parents. She was pregnant. Originally, she denied claims that she was pregnant. She had started to gain weight, and her parents suspected almost immediately. I'm sure they knew the signs of pregnancy, looked at their daughter and said, she might be pregnant, and they did ask her about it, but she said no. As a matter of fact, she said that's not possible because she was a virgin. But as the months progressed and it was going to be very difficult for her to prove that she was not pregnant, she just came out and admitted she was pregnant. But one thing that's not entirely known is that at that time, she was actually engaged. Her fiancé, his name was Jesse Grund. But he wasn't the father. It took a little bit of time because Casey started to say, this man, then this man. But she knew who the father was. She just didn't want everyone else to know. To this day, no one actually knows the father of Kaylee. But what we do know is that her mother is the reason Kaylee was born. Casey did not want to have her daughter. She wanted to put her up for at least adoption. But her mother, Cindy, said no, and that they would help care for Kaylee. And they did. So, Casey went ahead and had her baby, Kaylee Anthony. Life continued on with the new addition to the family, Kaylee Anthony. She was said to be very happy and loving, and definitely the love of Cindy and George's life. Casey had the help she needed because she had her parents right there, wanting to help in any way that they possibly could because they loved their grandchild so much. But that happiness didn't last. When Kaylee was 2 years old, in mid-June of 2008, Kaylee and her mom, Casey, left the home. Why? Well, Cindy and her got into a big fight. Grandma and mom were no longer on good terms. That doesn't mean that Cindy and George wanted Kaylee and Casey to leave, but it does mean that they left, and very likely because Casey wanted to do her own thing. Now, this was never said, but it is known that Casey wanted to be out there, living life, enjoying being young. There is nothing out there that says that she didn't take care of her daughter either, but she was quite young. And it's understandable that a mom, even though she is a mom, still wanted to enjoy going out with her friends. And children, well, anyone who's had them, 2 years old is quite difficult. There's this thing called the terrible twos for a reason. Well, on her own, with her daughter, and Casey started to lie again, and her parents suspected something was wrong. Because they would call her and try to find out how Kaylee was. I mean, she had lived with them until she was 2 years old, and all of a sudden now she has been unable to reach her granddaughter, Cindy, I mean. So she kept calling and calling and asking about her grandchild. But nobody could find any information out. And Casey finally went home without Kaylee. And on July 13th, she finally admitted her daughter was missing. And she had been missing for 31 days, almost exactly as long as she had been out of that home.
And then that trip for a week extended into another week because she told me her car was having issues and she had to take it to get it fixed.
So this happened incrementally and didn't initially cause you to have any suspicion?
No, because there was always a reasonable explanation. It made sense.
Now, I should mention, it's not that Cindy and George were completely unaware of the circumstance, because around 30 days in, they really started to worry, because they hadn't spoken to Kaylee or seen her or anything, and they didn't know where she was. And all those phone calls, and there was always some sort of an excuse as to why she wasn't around. And then there was a letter that came into the mail about the car being in a tow yard in Orlando. So Cindy and George went for that car to find out what was going on. And when they went to the tow yard and they found the car, they smelled a deceased body in the trunk of the car. No, Kaylee was not in the car, but the stench was. So you have a grandchild missing, a daughter you know is lying, and the smell of death coming from a car. Cindy had to know, and she called 911. She told them, "My grandchild is missing and I need to know." Well, the police didn't even have to wait very long, because when Casey Anthony finally admitted when she came home after that 911 call, she admitted that her daughter was indeed missing. And another 911 call ensued by Cindy again, saying, "Hey, really, this time my daughter has admitted my grandchild is missing and someone needs to help find her." But this is where the web of lies began. Now, I could go into every single one of the lies that came out of Casey's mouth. But the truth is, no matter what, we all know they were lies, but I will tell you the main ones. First is one that everyone knows because they went in media, not social media alone, but on TV, asking for everyone to help them find their grandchild and daughter, saying Kaylee was missing and she was kidnapped by Zanny. Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, the nanny. But there was no nanny. And when they found this supposed nanny, the name did really exist, and there was an actual woman named Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez in Orlando, they found out she had no connection with Kaylee. So lie number one. So what ensued after that? Well, the police were very angry for one, and they began to look at Casey. Not that they didn't look at her before, but this time they really knew. If there's no one who kidnapped your daughter, then you might be the person who did it. Because we do know your daughter is missing. Let's find a body. And a body was indeed found. The skeletal remains of Kaylee Anthony was found on the side of the road. It was definitely a sad time. No one wanted to find that 2-year-old who had been such a light in people's life, dead. But she was. And really, Cindy and George knew from the moment that stench happened. And there were many other lies that Casey had told the police at that time. So many, she was charged for them. But here's the thing. She never admitted to killing her daughter. So it was clear she was going to have to go to court. But they did charge her for murder. As a matter of fact, they charged her for many.
As to the charge of first degree murder, verdict as to count one, we the jury find the defendant not.
Many crimes. Many crimes by Casey. And she was so young. And already she was a murderer. And now, she just kept lying. Her parents clearly love her. They try to protect her in so many different ways, but that doesn't make them liars themselves. But from that point on, the entire family was brought through the craziness of trial. The craziness that went so worldwide that to this day, all members of the Anthony family, while they try to live a normal life, are extremely well known, and not because they want to be. Of course, they don't want to be known because their grandchild or daughter or niece was killed, but they are. And it was because of the crazy trial. This trial, which pointed to so many lies from Casey. And those many crimes that she committed. Well, yes, it was murder and attempted murder and manslaughter. They tried to put anything they could to make sure that she was convicted of murder. Because nobody knew how Kaylee was actually killed. Since they only found skeletal remains, it wasn't very easy to figure out exactly what happened. They do know that duct tape was found along with the body, and that there were strands of hair with chloroform in that strand. So chloroform was indeed used. But was it Casey who did it? Now, I did mention many lies multiple times. And in those lies, and what ended up on trial, was that George was the reason for the death. That she died in the pool in their backyard, and it was George who tried to cover it up. But that doesn't make sense, because he was such a loving grandfather, and it's not that people don't make mistakes, but it was just unlikely. Then it was said Cindy did it. But by whom? Well, Casey, of course. And her prosecutor. Her lawyer. I'm sorry. Her defender. Her lawyer. The prosecution instead said that she was a promiscuous party girl. And when she knew that her daughter went allegedly missing, even though it was at that point clear that she had already been murdered, she was out on the town having fun. And then there was the whole fact that someone had searched about chloroform on the computer. And Cindy said, "No, I'm the one who searched it, not my daughter." But these are typical responses of a parent. You don't want your child to go to jail, especially after already losing your grandchild. So, no matter what, the web of lies was insane. and it was going to be difficult for any jury to really know what happened, especially when so much time had passed and there was evidence but not enough evidence. It was very inconclusive. Not that the death occurred, obviously skeletal remains were found, but how it was done, because there was only a car with a smell and there were bones on the side of a road with duct tape and chloroform, and that's all that's known. This podcast is brought to you by Caitlin from GBR Life LLC. If you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to find me on social media under GBR Life, and feel free to visit my website, gbrlife.com. This podcast is open to any sponsorships. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Back to this week's episode. No matter what, and if you already know the story, I'm sure you're still shocked to this day that Casey Anthony was found not guilty of first-degree murder, or of aggravated manslaughter, or of child abuse. And it was all because there just wasn't the evidence to prove that it was her who did anything. Clearly, she had a great lawyer. But she was found guilty for lying to the police. And she was sentenced to 4 years in jail and $4,000 in fines. But she was also charged for those fraud charges again for another $200,000. Now, whether or not the money is needed, it was just a point that was trying to be made by the judge. If he couldn't have her go to jail, if the world couldn't see this woman going to jail for murdering her daughter, at least she was going to pay quite a substantial amount of money. But no matter what, she didn't go to jail for the death of her child. And she had already spent 3 years in jail, because the trial didn't begin until 2011. So she had been in jail all that time. And apparently, she behaved quite well in jail, because she was allowed to be released after 3 years. Therefore, once she was acquitted of murder, she was allowed to go. She left. She was free. And to this day, Kaylee is dead, and no one is in jail for her murder. Casey Anthony, whether or not she is convicted for the murder of her daughter, in my opinion, is absolutely a murderer. I can't say whether or not to this day she has any emotions behind it, but I can say that she seems to be a psychopath. There was interviews of her about 9 years later, and she seemed to have zero remorse or guilt or just any feelings towards the death of her daughter in regards to herself. In other words, she didn't seem to feel like anything was her fault whatsoever. She continued to blame others, her father, her mother, mostly her father, but never taking anything on herself. And she clearly tries to play a victim of some sort in all of it. So if you look at what a psychopath is, I almost said sociopath, but in this case I'd say psychopath. And if you look at what they are, a person with lack of guilt, remorse, empathy, attachment, a large degree of narcissism, dishonesty, big manipulators, and big risk takers, it actually seems to go more towards her than a sociopath. And that's because she does not have any true emotions. If you were to watch her, you see she doesn't take anything seriously. As a matter of fact, she was said to have laughed in her own daughter's murder trial. It doesn't even matter if she wasn't the murderer. Her daughter was dead. And on that 911 call, if you listen to it, because it's out there in the ether, you hear just how calm she really was. Your daughter's been missing for 31 days and you're so calm. I know as a parent myself, if my child was gone for 31 days, I would be destroyed. And many years later, I don't know that I would be able to talk about it without crying hysterically every time. But she says she can sleep at night. Yes, that's a psychopath to me, as I keep trying to say sociopath. Well, that's it for this week, and that's it for season one. GBR Life of Crimes, season two, will be back in January. So please, don't forget January, and you'll have a brand new episode. And if you're interested, be sure to subscribe, add to your listen lists, and make sure that you continue to listen to all GBR Life podcasts. Because in addition to GBR Life of Crimes, I will be releasing GBR Life of Parenting throughout December. Stay tuned for the next in January. GBR Life of Crimes has had a wonderful time speaking to you in season one. Until next season.